Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As you know, it's now or never. It's about time to get smart, and you need to start leading. Why we go out of our way to give you everything you need to understand to be a leader. So let me start off with this. As I was thinking about the Rogue Island ratification of the Constitution, because really they didn't debate it too much. They had some concerns, but what I'm going to tell you, because they came into the Union after the Constitution was already ratified and after the government was already functioning, what they should have done, and I've told, and I say this all the time, that every state in the Union should have received a copy of the ratification debates. Therefore, when the state legislature joined the Union and became a sovereign entity, an independent state, and became a party in the compact, each state legislature, like Rogue Island, instead of making these amendments, what they should have done was they should have gone through the Virginia ratification debates and said, we see how Virginia ratified the Constitution in stipulating that this, you know, that the necessary proper clause was defined this way, that the supremacy clause was defined this way, and we agree to those terms and definitions. And that New York did it this way. In other words, every state that joined the Union should have definitized the Constitution, the compact, and all of its terms and definitions provided by all of the other states. Because every state joining the Union basically is depending upon every single one of those terms and definitions. Now, the person out there that might think that there would be a contradiction between the Virginia and the New York ratification debates, you're not going to find it. Because the Federalists and how the Constitution was sold, had they been lying, had they been deceiving the Anti-Federalists and the other people just to, you know, convince them to buy into this, you would have found different lies and or those types of things, because the contradictions would have came out. The smarter the people are on the Constitution and how it was defined by the states at its time of ratification, that is how the Constitution is to be interpreted, period. And so we would have avoided completely the derailment and the tyranny that we're suffering from today. As a matter of fact, I believe America would have been on the path of enlightenment and maintained its path of enlightenment, because I believe that new amendments to the Constitution would have been provided. And I honestly believe that there would be new polities and that the states would have actually made some amendments that would have empowered them more. Because there's no doubt in my mind that is the direction that that an enlightened constitutional republic needs to go. That you don't vest all powers into a centralized government. The framers were very clear not to do that, that the only focus of the federal government was to be externally facing, not to be involved in the domestic matters and domestic issues. You'll find that right there in the Federalist Papers. Madison clearly stated that. It was basically reiterated in the ratification debates as well. So what I'm trying to say here is, as I'm going through and we're seeing how Rhode Island is finding some of these problems. They're creating these stipulations that they think that, you know, they're making the same assertions that were already made in defining the Constitution by Virginia, by North Carolina, by Pennsylvania, and so forth. So as you kind of go through this, you go, well, why did they do that? What they should have done, again, had the states provided their own copy of their ratification debates to Rhode Island, then Rhode Island would have been able to do the initiation of the what we call the definitizing of the Constitution, and that every new state would join the Union. The legislators would then have to go through the ratification debates on the, you know, and it would have been highlighted. Had it been done properly and legally, all of the anti-federalist definitions and their assertions would have been marked as rejected. It would have been, you know, actually what they probably should have done was, you know, you have the debates to read, but then they would actually segregate the anti-federalist comments so that kind of like the Pennsylvania ratification debates where the only thing you see are the comments by the Federalists. Oh, you think it's this? Well, this is what this really means. So you're making a huge mistake and you're being foolish by thinking and asserting that that's what that means, because this is what it really means. And then everybody in Pennsylvania ratified the Constitution, or a majority of the people ratified it. And that was the same thing that happened in Virginia and so forth. This is why I tell you all the time, when you look at the Congressional Globe, or when you look at when they're talking about an amendment and passing the amendment in Congress, you have to reject the opponent's comments and assertions. Because Congress rejected that, and they accepted those things that defined what the intent behind the language of this amendment really meant. And so there you go. So this is why going to the Congressional Record on the 16th Amendment is really, really important. And I'm asking you this right now, folks. Why is it that there's nobody out there that has done the due diligence in how the 16th Amendment was, you know, how it came to be and how it was sold and defined? Because how it was defined in Congress basically laid the groundwork of the intent behind that amendment. And I'm here to tell you that progressives took latitude with the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment, the same thing. Because the progressives have basically come out and have muted state legislators, because everybody's convinced the state legislators that the 17th Amendment has basically neutered the state legislatures, and that's not true. The language isn't there. The state legislators still have the responsibility of oversight over their compact, period. And so this is why all, you know, we have to do the due diligence, not just with the Constitution, but with these amendments as well. So anyway, let me just get back into it. I've got about 3 minutes left of the first segment here. So the third recommended amendment, it is, oh, actually, this is what we just did. Okay, so the fourth amendment, that no amendments to the Constitution of the United States hereafter to be made pursuant to the fifth article shall take effect or become part of the Constitution of the United States after the year 1793, without the consent of 11 states heretofore united under one confederation. In other words, they're trying to actually increase the amount of states, instead of it being 3/4, actually being greater than that, because Rhode Island wanted to have 100% buy-in. And they were actually looking at this point in time, there were only 13 states in the Union, and they wanted 11 out of 13. So almost basically an 80% percentile for ratifying a constitution. Does that make sense? So in other words, instead of 3/4, instead of 9 states, They wanted 11 states to ratify. And so they wanted to make it harder to make changes to the Constitution for the federal government to assume any new roles, responsibilities, and powers. Anyway, fifth, that the judicial power of the United States shall extend to no possible case where the cause of action shall have originated before the ratification of this Constitution, except in disputes between states about their territory, disputes between persons claiming lands under grants of different states, and debts due to the United States. Sixth, that no person shall be compelled to do military duty otherwise than by voluntary enlistment, except in cases of general invasion, like what we've got going on right now. Anything in the second paragraph of the sixth article of the Constitution or any law made under the Constitution to the contrary, notwithstanding. So the sixth article of the Constitution is where the supremacy clause is and all of that. And that's also where the oath of office is. Anyway, so there's seventh recommended amendment, that no capitation or poll tax shall ever be laid by Congress. So in other words, they can't basically, you know, make you buy into paying for your voting. That's what a poll tax is. And actually, that's never happened. Congress actually passed an amendment to alleviate the state's ability to do that as well. Eighth, in cases of direct taxes, Congress shall first make requisitions on the several states to assess, levy, and pay their respective proportions on such requisitions in such a way and manner as the legislatures of the several states shall judge best. And in case any state shall neglect or refuse to pay its proportion pursuant to such requisition, then Congress may assess and levy such states' proportions together with interest at the rate of 6% per annum from the time prescribed in such requisitions. And so, bottom line, they're just basically trying to say, hey, just tell us what you want us to pay, and we will take, you know, the necessary measures of taxing and collecting money to pay you. In other words, they didn't want them to actually start laying direct taxes and excise taxes. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, now, so here's one that was actually knocked down by the Federalists, and they explained why that they couldn't do this. And actually, let me stop and go take an aside. Last Friday, when I did Feedback Friday, I didn't get a chance to really dive into what people need to know. I've had a lot of people start tuning in, and I've had a lot of people, you know, getting engaged. And I'm, you know, nine times out of ten, by the time you contact me, you're kind of already understanding most of this stuff. But for those of you who are new that haven't contacted me yet and are, you know, looking to, because I've actually had somebody, and I mentioned this last Friday, somebody in San Francisco, you know, wants to start getting, you know, associated and working and so forth. But anyway, There's no reason why you can't, even in San Francisco, there's no reason why you can't start spreading the word. Because what's really important is if you actually listen to this radio show, this is not about entertainment. This is not about, you know, Jerry Doyle used to talk about the news of the day as a grapefruit. Because you could look at it in a spherical view. In other words, you can go all the way around it, you can go over it, you can go under it, and you can look at every edge, corner, and nook and cranny, in a spherical view. And so he kind of points out that every time something hits the news cycle, it becomes the grapefruit of the day. Or maybe we have a couple of different grapefruits. Maybe it's an orange, apple, and a grapefruit. Regardless, what happens is everybody has to make a comment, or when they look at it, oh, well, everybody's got to add their little pithy comment or some sound bite so that it gains traction. And that's how people become identified as influencers, because how they make comment and how they react and getting people to, oh, yeah, that's what it is. That's all garbage. All of this news entertainment, Tucker Carlson, even though he exposes all sorts of great stuff, it's garbage. It's pornography. When you really start looking at what is going on and the exposure of all these things, it's just like exposing sex acts. It's just pornographic and people, oh, I got to look at this. It's almost like the footage of the carnage of a train wreck. Now, you can go to websites that will actually show you all the carnage. And you'd be surprised. Actually, I don't think anybody that listens to this show on a regular basis is surprised at all at the desire for the carnage by our American public. I mean, it's almost Circus Maximus. There's nothing that shocks people anymore. We have lost our scruples. We have lost our mores as a society. And it is an indictment that actually proves how the people want to see every angle of that orange or apple, whatever the problem du jour is. And it's a waste of time. We have to start helping people break the pornographic addiction. We have to start helping people realize that all of these things should be more motivation. All you need to hear is the headlines that go, oh my gosh, it's getting worse. It is getting worse. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. You could wake up every morning and tell everybody, it's only getting worse. This is what we need to do. And then now you're doing what I'm doing. Because I am really trying to be focused on what we need to do. The only time I talk about the news is in a marketing context. Because bottom line, folks, how bad does it really have to get before you're going to start doing something? And this is not about me. I want you to take over these shows. As a matter of fact, I'm laying the groundwork. You can bring my show into your area. And as this show starts to grow, I want to step out. I don't want to be the one doing all of this. And it doesn't take, a degree. It doesn't take rocket science to understand this stuff. It's basic contract knowledge. And anybody that's ever worked for an employer understands fundamental contract knowledge. How things are stipulated. This is how we get burnt. Oh, well, I need to learn to stipulate things clearer so I know exactly what the expectations are, what have you. So come on, folks. Come on. I could be doing a lot of other things instead of doing these things. And so that's what my hope is that you actually start educating people on what the truth is, the gospel truth of the Constitution, and that comes from only the ratification debates, and then get everybody else engaged. So if it's piqued your interest, oh, how can I do these things? then as you start growing your network within the area and people start listening to this show and they start actually organizing and start doing petitions, as you start getting people following the petitions and working with you and holding government accountable, once you've got your little army formed, your little militia, you now can actually go to a radio show. As you're growing by people listening to this radio, you go to your local radio station and they will pick this stuff up. They will act, you get them to cover my radio show, and you, and then what we will do is we will negotiate the time after my show to give to you so that you can tell people where you're going to be every day of the week for signatures and get people engaged and when you're going to have your events. And your show will grow like, it'll go crazy. Because everybody will find the relevance. I mean, people will appreciate learning in the first, you know, the first hour, the history and the facts, the academic facts. Eventually, my show will go away. Because more and more people will already know, and you're going to have trainers. You're going to have this curriculum because we're putting it out there. You can take care of all of this. Eventually, my show can go away, and you'll be doing three-hour shows. And then we'll use my show to be growing in different states. It's, you know, I may have to do this for a few years until we have enough coverage and enough movement to where I can actually quit. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do this. I think you're going to do a better job because you're going to be actually leading people and helping educate. You're going to be creating your own petition writing teams. I mean, you're going to become the Thomas Jeffersons, the James Madisons, the Rufus Kings, and the new reframers of our Constitutional Republic to help put government back into its perspective, restoring its framework, and getting it to fire on all cylinders the way it's supposed to, and stopping all tyranny. That's you, not me. This is not about me. I cannot emphasize that enough. It really isn't. And so, yeah, you might be, you know, but I'm going to tell you, if you really make this about money and you try to make yourself into a Rush entertainer instead of being a public servant, then I hope you get outed. I hope anybody that does this to grow, you know, their own dynasty and to create an empire and or, you know, a franchise, I hope you get outed as a hypocrite. I hope you get outed as, you know, a self-serving, selfish person. But I don't think that's you. Because everybody that I know that I'm working with, they're not that kind of person. I believe that America is filled with good people. And I believe that they don't want to be the hypocrites. They see the hypocrisy in their politicians. And they're going to be the ones that are going to have to replace them. And you're going to have to replace the ones that are replacing them. So eventually, this becomes every man and woman needs to stand up, step up, and actually start becoming a part of government. One way or the other, we're all a part of this machine. If you understand, as the militia, we are the integral part of this machine. This is why when you look at this government that God gave us, it's like the human body with these miracles of the immune system, that every cell is a person of the body, that we are all a part of this. It's just, it's absolutely amazing when you start coming to these conclusions and you see the macro view here. It's amazing, folks, what the Lord has blessed us with. And it can't become perverted as long as we succor and as long as we nourish ourselves on the truth of a limited and defined government. It's beautiful. I can't tell you just, you know, what a what a fulfillment it is, and just the wind in my sails in working with you. That's why I say you are my family. We are all a part of the same family of liberty, of helping people rise and become self-sufficient. You know, it is abhorrent. I mean, you got to remember, slavery was outlawed by God when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Because he said all men must live by the sweat of their brow. Well, if you have a slave working for you, then that means that your lifestyle is based upon the sweat of others. And as far as I'm concerned, that's immoral and it defiles God's law. Folks, this is one of the reasons why I don't want your money. I'll go back to my comments yesterday. I won't deny you blessings. And I'm going to tell you, if you do things for the right reasons, God will bless you. Prove him now this day. Go read Malachi and the stores and how you rob God. Prove me wrong this day that God does not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you for your selflessness by giving and blessing others. Put food in the storehouses, donate, and help people. That is how we are blessed. And I do not want to deny you, but please don't deny me in blessing you. We'll be right back after this promo with the Rogue Island Ratification Debate.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get back to Rogue Island. And hopefully, you see, when Paul's here, we really focus on covering topics, so forgive me, but when I say these things, it's just like I'm moved. I'm moved by the Spirit to emphasize these types of things. Anyway, the 9th recommended amendment from Rogue Island. The Congress shall lay no direct tax without the consent of the legislatures of 3/4 of the states of the Union. Now, hold on here. Then that would actually take away our Republican form of government created at the federal level. Congress has the ability to lay direct taxes. And what Rogue Island is saying is we don't want that. And bottom line, we need that. They needed that because that Rogue Island existed. And there were way too many people that actually, caused the problem of these cabals, these state cabals of Rogue Island and even Virginia, even New York. They were problematic. They were not following the Articles of Confederation, and that's because Continental Congress did not have the ability to punish the states for doing bad things. The states were the problems then, and they're the problems today because they're not doing their job. They've become the bootlickers of the federal government when they should actually be the masters of the federal government. So the 10th recommended amendment that the journals of the proceedings of the Senate and House of Representatives shall be published as soon as conveniently may be, at least once every year, except such parts thereof relating to treaties, alliances, or militaries as in their judgment require secrecy, but even after the fact, it should still be provided to the state legislators. In other words, if there's going to be classified secret stuff, that the state legislatures need to be read into that, and they need to be the guardians to ensure that the necessary reasons for secrecy are actually being followed. And if a state legislator actually outs the information that really is classified, then they go to jail for treason. Everybody should be going to jail. Hillary Clinton should have gone to court for treason, you know, and actually if she was found guilty, which I truly believe all the evidence proves that she was guilty, then she would be hanged. And Bill Clinton would be hanged. All that commit treason, direct treason. Now, see, I've had this conversation with people where they think, you know, and I got into this in Georgia with Eric. And, you know, we talked about, you know, who should really be hanged, and capital punishment really needs to, you know, go through the roof, because there's lots of people that are committing treason, but they're not involved in government. You know, so in other words, when government does it, like when Bill Clinton did it with China, he should hang for that. If everything that I'm asserting is true, that was actually a part of the congressional record, that Bill Clinton actually took money from the Chinese Communist Party, he should be hanged. All of these folks should actually be punished based on the rule of law. Anyway, that the regular statement of receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published at least once a year. Well, see, all of these things are actually being done, except for the secrecy and those types of things. But, for, you know, why is Rogue Island doing this? They're just coming to the show saying, hey, you know, well, we weren't sleeping, you know, we were kind of looking over your shoulder. But again, I think the real problem was that they didn't have the other state ratification debates, because what would have been more powerful for Rogue Island in joining the union, they should have just reasserted how the Constitution was defined by the Federalists of this state, the Federalists of this state, the Federalists of this state when it came to the necessary proper clause. This is what we need to do, folks, to definitize it. I need your help to help with this. As a matter of fact, we're going to be doing this. It will be done. The state legislature, as a matter of fact, in talking to the representative in South Dakota, they talked about, you know, how do we need to do this? And I said, I'll help you. I've done most of the work. And you guys can look and say, oh, yeah, we get. And as you start taking this on, you know, it'll just grow exponentially. That when other states come in, they'll say, hey, did you find these things too? The only thing we have to prove is that was the assertion made by a proponent or an opponent? In other words, an opposer or somebody that was helping, you know, helping to truly clarify the Constitution. And in so doing, we will have a definitized constitution, and we will eradicate the federal government's ability to maintain an annotated constitution ever again. That will eradicate the ability of a judge to make an opinion in interpreting something that was already stipulated in the ratification debates. I'm telling you, folks, most people in the court system are actually going to be going, you know what? There's really very little for us to do. You know, there's cases, but as cases start to come forward and as people start to learn the law, people, you know, the only people that are going to be violating the law are the people that are going to do everything they can to try to obfuscate and try to, you know, that's not the case. And they're all going to be caught and they're going to be punished because we have all of the information necessary. And we'll prove, oh, you see, you can't make it up. That's the beautiful thing about what the Lord, as I ended the last segment, I am just overwhelmed at what he did and how he built the system. It is just amazing, folks. Amazing. 12th, the 12th recommended amendment. As standing armies in time of peace are dangerous to liberty and ought not to be kept up except in cases of necessity, and as at all times the military should be under strict subordination to the civil power, and therefore no standing army or regular troops shall be raised or kept up in time of peace. Now, again, you know, they're just reasserting things that were already stipulated as terms and definitions of the Constitution. Now, the next one, that no monies be borrowed on the credit of the United States without the assent of 2/3 of the senators and representatives present in each house. Now, I do like that. I do not like the popular vote. But the one thing that came out of the Senate is that the Senate did require, for certain things, to require a 60% threshold. In other words, you had to have 60% of the senators to vote for something, where technically the House of Representatives was basically a democracy rule type of thing. This is why Republic Review only needs 50% plus one to start dismantling unconstitutional things. You don't need to have a supermajority in the House of Representatives or in Congress to enforce the Constitution. You just need 50% plus one. That's how powerful Republic Review is when it comes to striking tyranny and purging our system of unconstitutional behavior, actions, powers, and so forth. It only takes 50% plus one. That is the beauty of this system. I mean, Republic Review is basically designed on how the system was created. Now, I'm okay with creating better thresholds, and if we want to get there so that for taxation, changes of taxation, we need to undo the 16th Amendment. It needs to be repealed. The question is, and here's the fact, when you read up on Republic Review and everything else, when it comes to the 16th and 17th Amendment, both of those need to be fully challenged to determine if they were constitutionally ratified or not. If they weren't, and the evidence is actually there, if Bob Benson is right, then those amendments will actually go away. And we won't have to follow those things. As a matter of fact, the IRS is unconstitutional, because the Constitution was never amended to allow the federal government to enforce their laws. It actually, the IRS, those guys will no longer be working federal government. Their pensions and everything else will be based on state. And they won't be working out of D.C. in a high salary, high neighborhood, cost of living area. They're going to be going back to Tennessee, Ohio, Iowa, wherever. Arkansas, it doesn't matter. I mean, the state will actually then be the ones that will actually exercise the laws of the union, as it's supposed to be done. Look at the whiskey tax. The whiskey tax was done by the states. Anyway, 14, that Congress shall not declare war without the concurrence of 2/3 of the senators and representatives present in each house. Now, I'm not sure if it requires 2/3 or anything, but, in some cases, I think it's okay. When it comes down to using deadly force, I think there does need to be at least a greater majority than a democracy in some cases. And I think that when they're talking about waging tyranny, whether that be war or taxation, if people like the idea, then the Constitution can be amended and further restrictions or better restrictions can be placed on government, so it's not so easy for them to create a new tax or a war. That the words, quote, without the consent of Congress, close quote, in the 7th clause in the 9th article of the 1st article of the Constitution be expunged. And so what is that? Actually, I wasn't prepared for this, but it only takes me a second to pull up the Constitution, to go to And actually, you know, if you've got your own constitution, you can do this. But by going to the first article of the Constitution, which is Article 1, and what did they say the next section was? The seventh clause in the ninth section. So you go to Section 9, and you go to the seventh clause right here, and it says, without the consent of Congress, actually it's the eighth clause, that no title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office, trust, or profit under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any so in other words, they want to get rid of Congress's ability to allow people to accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatsoever from a king, prince, or foreign state. I'm okay with that. I think that's a good amendment. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so anytime we can make it a little harder for Congress to wage tyranny, because look, folks, look at all the warfare that they're actually waging against us right now. That's because they're ignoring, you know, the Constitution. They're actually violating the Constitution. If they were within the constraints of the Constitution, then they couldn't be doing all of these things. They couldn't be subsidizing farming. They couldn't be subsidizing the rail system. The rail system either would have been fixed on its own and or
It would have been redone better by newer investors and newer people coming in, and it wouldn't be a conglomerate,
and it wouldn't have been able to, you know, basically, because the federal government, they start picking favors or favorites, and they say, you know what, we're going to help these guys out because they've really contributed a lot to us. And so they step in, they help out very specific railroad companies, and that's what they did. And those railroad companies kind of, you know, started buying up and taking over the rest of them. Well, that's what's going on today. As a matter of fact, I believe Canada just bought out a rail system in Kansas. Are you kidding me? Anyway, folks, back to these recommended amendments. 16, that no judge of the Supreme Court of the United States shall hold any other office under the United States or any of them, nor shall any officer appointed by Congress or by the President and Senate of the United States be permitted to hold any office under the appointment of any other states. 17th, as a traffic tending to establish or continue the slavery of any part of the human species is disgraceful to the cause of liberty and humanity, that Congress shall, as soon as may be, promote and establish such laws and regulations as may effectually prevent the importation of slaves of very description into the United States. Now, that technically is in Article 1, Section 9. The importation of slaves is right there at the very beginning. But what they're
what they want to do, because the Constitution didn't come right out and say that. As a matter of fact, slavery was very rarely mentioned. As a matter of fact, slaves were, you know, apportioned for, and, you know, they were to be returned. But bottom line, slavery was repugnant, and it was a problem, and it should never have been a part of, and it should never have been a state issue. They should have eradicated slavery at the Constitutional Convention. The problem was that the consensus was maintaining the Union instead of cleaning up and allowing slavery to fester within the newly formed government, within our own independent and sovereign capacity. They became hypocrites. And today there's many people pointing fingers at these men that they were hypocrites. Many of them, as Jefferson said, we have the wolf by the ear. We cannot not safely release it or hold on to it. The fact that we even are that close to the wolf is just not safe. We should never have embraced slavery. And what are we going to do? Because they realized that, you know, it's going to cause problems, that the discontent because of the way it was done in America by Britain, by the British king, of making it a racial issue. They knew what the king knew what he was doing, because he created this class of hate. So, folks, you know, these things are things we inherited, and these are problems that we needed to deal with. And Jefferson's plan was actually manifested by Monroe. Jefferson's plan was to repatriate blacks back to Africa. Now, I honestly think that there just should have been a dissolving, and, you know, because look at Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was happy. He said, let people just be free, and we can work these things out. And had they done that, I truly believe, as we took over the helm of this new government, we could have done it right. And who could have actually judged us otherwise? The reality is we have the empirical data. The king did this. He's the one that declared it. Why do we have to carry the yoke? We didn't need to. We did start taking, and we had to take the association that instead of actually ending slavery, they perpetuated it. And so there is the share of that yoke. But reparations, to be clear, folks, is unconstitutional. The government cannot tax the people and pay for reparations to the slaveholders for the loss of their property, nor to the slaves, you know, to compensate them for their term of slavery. Everything was legal and legit up until the day it was legally defined as illegal, and it was ended, and then it's over, done. What California is doing is manipulating, and it is violating the Constitution by trying to go down a path of paying reparations, because everybody that wasn't a slave has to pay these taxes. And that right there is a bill of attainder. It's by definition a bill of attainder, and a onerous one at that. Anyway, the state legislature will have the power to recall, this is the 18th Amendment, when they think expedient, their federal senators, and send others in their stead. Actually, the 14th Amendment took care of this, so that amendment has been taken care of. The 19th, that Congress shall have the power to establish a uniform rule of inhabitancy or settlement of the poor in different states throughout the United States. And so, actually, they did that. In 1792, Congress was already in the makings of making the United States citizens and inhabitants and all of the creating all the definitions. I think they actually did it in 1790. But why are they adding this? Because they're just proving that they're really considerate and deep thinking people. The last two, here are the last two, that Congress erect no company with exclusive advantages of commerce. Well, they don't have the power to do that. There's nowhere in the Constitution that's enumerated. Again, This was already dealt with in the ratification debates. If it's not enumerated, they can't do it. Is there anywhere where they can do this? No. So anyway, it's important that I go through this because I'm just trying to prove how it would have been so much better had Rhode Island just basically followed the ratification debates and said, we acquiesce, we agree with how the Constitution was defined in this manner by Virginia and in this manner by New York and in this manner by boom. Because each state looked at the Constitution with different eyes, and each state, you know, saw the different problems. And as the commonality between the states, they actually dealt with the problem identically. They use different words. They use different, you know, explanations. But clearly, they all agreed on how the Constitution was defined. They just stated it differently. The final amendment, that when two members shall move or call for the ayes and nays on a question, they shall be entered on the journal of the houses respectively. In other words, you know, basically making sure that they get people to vote on a particular measure or some legislation and or on a law, and that it be recorded so the people can hold these representatives directly accountable to what they just did, to the tyranny that they may have laid or what. So anyway, this was done in a convention at Newport, in the county of Newport, in the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. That's actually the name of the state. Rhode Island used to be called the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. The 29th day of May in the year of our Lord, 1790, and the fourth year of the independence of the United States of America, by order of the convention. And then they kind of identify all of, you know, who's the president and so forth. So now that we've wrapped up the ratification debates of Rhode Island, and actually I'm surprised it took me three shows, but then again, I went down a few rat holes. So, but I think that all of the rat holes I go down are a benefit to everybody. So I apologize if you felt that I didn't benefit you, but being what it is, and all things being equal, I do this for you. So when we come back, we're going to go into the Pennsylvania ratification debates. Now, there's something really unique about these, because they don't really have the testimony provided by the anti-federalists. In other words, the way they did this, they kind of scrubbed their ratification debates so that you only saw the proponents, which is what I tell you need to get anyway. I don't mind reading the opposers' views and how, you know, I like when Mason says that they'll have a cauldron of witchcraft in the District of Columbia. You know, it's comical, but it came true. Look at what they're doing today. It's actually evil. Anyway, we're going to be back with the Pennsylvania debates in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.